The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
If you're struggling to sleep this summer, we want to hear from you. The WhatsApp number is 087 1400 106. Maybe it's the hot weather that's keeping you awake, or you're just too busy enjoying the sunshine and all of the great summer gigs that you're not getting your 8 hours of sleep a night. Whatever the reason for not getting enough sleep, it can be really hard to stay alert the next day. So are there any tricks or tips that can get us through? Here to help us is Maynooth University behavioural neuroscientist Andrew Coogan, and I'm also joined by dietitian Shelley Gray. Andrew, I'll come to you first. Shorter sleep, is it common in the summer that we would have less sleep?
Yeah, exactly, Claire. It's perfectly normal for us, even without the weather being unusually hot like it is, for us to sleep shorter in the summer. Obviously, with the hot weather, that then disrupts our sleep. We know for studies that have looked at, for example, climate change, that it's the change in our sort of normal summer temperatures rather than the absolute that seems to predict sleep disturbance. So basically, we're just not used to this here. Mm. Our buildings are built for it. You know, our buildings are built to retain heat, not to sort of expel heat like they are in Southern Europe. And we as individuals aren't used to this because this is not how we've been brought up. You know, we'd have a couple of hot days in the summer, but we'd never, I never remember, you know, having, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of this type of weather like we've been experiencing. Although, so there's a number of things going on.
Although we all remember the lovely warm summers of our youth, whether they're real or imagined.
Yeah, imagined, exactly.
And we also, we're not culturally set up for this. So we don't have a break during the day, which is what they would do traditionally in hot countries. But let's talk about how you get through the next day if you haven't had good sleep the night before. So this applies to new parents, people who've been out late at night. You're just not, you just haven't had your 7 hours of good sleep. How do you get through the next day?
Yeah, so a couple of tips. I think, first of all, don't catastrophize. It's not a catastrophe. The world's not going to fall in. You're going to be all right. You might not be running at 100%, but look, you know, that's grand. It's life. The one tip that you can use is the thing that's maybe causing you not to sleep that well at night. It can actually be helpful, i.e. the sun. So get out in the sunlight during the day. We know natural sunlight, it actually helps us sleep. If you get lots of sunlight exposure during the day, we know it can increase our alertness, increase our mood. And maybe particularly try to get out in the morning, because we know that's when the sunlight is most beneficial for our circadian clocks, and that helps us sleep. But also that's when the day is probably not that humid, not that muggy, which it will be as the day goes on. So the thing that's making us hot at night, let's actually use that for a benefit.
So get out into the sunlight. That's the first thing we should be doing.
That's the first thing. Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you have coffee, you know, that can help keep us alert. Now, our coffee sensitivity varies from person to person. So some people having coffee too late in the day can disrupt their sleep. So I think people have a sense themselves if they're particularly sensitive to caffeine, and if they are, sort of avoid it from the mid-afternoon on. The other thing, have a nap. Naps are good. You know, again, you talk about the Mediterranean, everyone disappears, you know, after lunch to have a nice siesta.
But there's there's rules around the nap though, Andrew, isn't there? And they're very strict rules. I don't like them. Like 20 minutes for a nap and no more.
Yeah, I mean, the reason we say that is to avoid something called sleep inertia. So sleep inertia is that sort of groggy sense, you know, that woolly headedness we get when we wake up. And we can get that if you have a longer nap. In terms of the benefit of the nap, we think we get the same benefit from a 15 or 20 minute nap than we do from, let's say, an hour. So the recommendation for a 15 or 20 minute nap is that you get the benefit and hopefully you avoid then that sort of grogginess when you wake up.
I think we're all familiar with that. Let's bring in Shelley at this point. Shelley, thanks very much for being with us on this. The problem with food when you are tired is that you eat more of it, don't you? And the rubbishy things, you crave the fat and you crave the salt because you think it's going to get you through.
Yeah, exactly. Good morning. So yeah, when we're tired, when we're sleep deprived, it doesn't just make us tired. It completely, as you say, changes how our brain regulates appetite, our cravings, our metabolism, even the types of foods that we're choosing throughout the day. So when we are deprived of sleep, the brain kind of goes into an energy emergency mode. So if you think of the hormones that we associate with hunger, they completely misfire. So leptin is a hormone that usually keeps us full after our meals, but that's reduced when we're tired. And then the hunger hormone, which is ghrelin, is increased when we're tired as well. But also, as you say, the salty, the sugary snacks that we crave, that is our reward system in our brains taking over. So even if you're not hungry, the brain just becomes more sensitive to those high sugar, high saturated fat foods. So we're craving them, and then we have a low desire then, unfortunately, for the good stuff, the fruit and the vegetables, the whole grains, the lean proteins. So it's not just feeling tired, your brain is literally pushing you towards those quick hit foods. And when you do look at the research, people who are sleep deprived, they do consume more calories in the day, but it's not from the breakfast and the lunch and the dinner. It's the bits in between, the grazing, the snacking, particularly late at night. But there are things you can do to sort of buffer sleep deprivation. Now, nothing will come close to actually getting sleep, but there are a few things you can do to mitigate the effects. So first of all, it would be just prioritizing. Now, this is a no-brainer, but prioritizing a healthy breakfast. So there is research to show that what you eat first thing in the morning can have a measurable impact on how awake you feel across the day, independent of how well you slept. So this was a study published back in 2022, I think it was, in the journal Nature. So they showed that if you have a high fiber breakfast with moderate amount of protein and some healthy fats in there as well, so that could be your porridge or your whole grain breads, etc. But that was linked to people revving up their alertness quickly in the morning and sustaining that alert state as well. So the healthy breakfast, but also hydration as well throughout the day. Just sip, sip, sip your water throughout the day. If you struggle with water, add in a little bit of sugar-free cordial to make it more exciting. But we do know that dehydration does worsen that fatigue. It increases perceived hunger as well, and you're more likely to have those cravings for the less healthy
So
snacks.
you have to push back against what your brain is telling you that it wants
Exactly.
and go for the things that you need, which is protein, fruit, vegetables, and water.
Exactly. And your healthy fats as well, because Professor Coogan might confirm this, but we do know when you are sleep deprived, your body is in a state, it's in an inflammatory state. So your healthy fats, your omega-3 fatty acids from oily fish and your healthy fats from nuts and seeds and olive oil can kind of counteract that inflammation as well. Now, all of this is probably something you don't need to worry about if it's only for a day or two, but if it's chronic, say now shift workers or doctors working, all kinds of hours throughout the night. It's when it's chronic, that's when it becomes problematic, when we really have to look at it.
Okay, and Andrew, is it a good idea to try to catch up on your sleep, or should you just go straight back into a normal sleeping pattern?
No, I mean, I think try to catch up. The best guide to what you need is your body. So if you're free to sleep, when you wake up is when your body is telling you, we've had enough sleep here, we can wake up. So generally the evidence suggests that catch-up sleep is probably good. And, look, if we're lucky enough to be on holidays and not have to get up super early to go to work, just sleep in, just, and your body is the best alarm clock.
Tony learns a poem. He's been in touch and tries to recite it when he goes to bed. He chooses famous Shakespeare passages and they work every single time. Is that good advice, Andrew?
So that's just the de-stressing, the unwinding. It's doing something that's super familiar. It can be reading a book, it can be even watching something on the telly that you've watched many times before. So, it's sort of soothing and relaxing. It's not exciting. You're not getting overwhelmed up about it. It's just relaxing, winding down, and then sleep just comes.
And what about this warm bath that you recommend, even on the warm days? What's the logic behind that?
So the lot of this sounds counterintuitive. So one of the things that happens normally about 2 hours before we go to sleep, our core body temperature starts to drop. And that drop in our core body temperature actually serves as a trigger for us to go to sleep. Now, obviously, in the hot weather, the body is cooling itself less well, and especially in the high humidity that we tend to have here as well. What the core body, what the bath does is that in the skin, in the bits of our body with skin without hair, so the palms of our hands and the soles of our feet,
yes,
we have these special blood vessels. And these blood vessels act a bit like a radiator. So they're like a heat exchange. And having a warm bath actually opens up these radiators, allows the body to sort of, and therefore when we get out of the bath, allows the body then to start radiating heat outwards, cools our core body temperature and helps that drop. And that drop then helps us sleep, get to sleep at a normal state.
Does a shower at night work in the same way?
A shower at night is less effective because you don't get that sort of whole body immersion. But a shower does have a couple of advantages that a bath also has. First of all, it's relaxing, so that's good. Mm-hmm. And second of all, if you, like me, suffer from hay fever, and the pollen count is super high at the moment, and because it's not raining, that pollen isn't washing out of the atmosphere. A shower or a bath actually helps wash the pollen that you may have got sort of stuck in your hair and on your skin during the day. Helps that wash that out, and that might then help you have less of a runny nose, less of a postnasal drip, and sleep better at night as well. So a shower is good, a bath is better.
Okay, and Shelley, avoid eating then if we want to have a good night's sleep. Avoid eating after dinner or certainly after 9 o'clock at night.
Exactly, yeah. So we do know that late night eating disrupts the circadian rhythm, it worsens the sleep quality, and it also reinforces that reward-driven eating pattern. So yeah, trying to have a kind of cut off, you know, maybe wash your teeth after your main meal at night, so it will prevent you from being tempted to snack or indeed go to bed if you can.
Shelley, thank you so much. Shelley Gray and Andrew Coogan. A listener says, I'm almost 29 weeks pregnant, and between struggling to get a comfortable position in bed and the heat, I'm exhausted. I'm needing to nap often during the day. We feel your pain. That is a really tricky one. Another one, I'm go to the beach for a swim and a sleep. Well, if you're lucky enough to live near the coast, that's a great way to do it. Send us your tips and tricks for a good night's sleep or how you get through a day when you haven't had a good night's sleep to 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.